Okay. All right, so I'm a little different tonight. For those of you listening on the recording here, this is we're actually doing this December 20th, 2013, and we're just going to have a little discussion in regards to Christmas. And the reason we're doing this is because Christmas is 5 days away, right? And no, we don't do Christmas, and we're going to show why we don't do Christmas in this quick study. And if you're listening and you want to get an in-depth look at what we're talking about here, just go to remnantgod.org/Xmas. xmas.htm, you know. So, and it's the Christmas page, and if you print this out, it's probably going to be over 50, 60 pages. So, the very first item on the bunch is, Yeah, I know, Ellen White did talk about the pagan aspects of it and not to do it like the world. She says, if you want to celebrate Christmas, do it as unlike the world as possible. We have, I don't know if I got some of those quotes on this page. I don't know, maybe I should one of these days put a bunch of Ellen White quotes on this Christmas page, because every year, at this time of the year, people ask me that question about Ellen White. And she says, if you want to have a tree, yeah, bring the tree into your house, but in a potted plant, and make the tree as unlike the world as possible. You go to any SDA church, the tree's got the garland on it, the lights on it, the gifts underneath it. It's dead. It's been cut off. It's dying right there in the building, you know, so. And they affix it just like in Jeremiah chapter 10, right? And so, but, yeah, this is the best time of the year, though, to talk to people about Jesus. They're more open to it. So, now each section on this page can be made into a small tract or a big tract, depending upon the section you pick. Like the first one, is it acceptable to blend paganism with Christianity? I'm not even going to go there because it's a no-brainer, right? And Brother Craig made videos of three of these sections. Number one would be the name Christmas or the term Christmas or birthday celebrations, and I actually turned that into a web page about should Christians celebrate birthdays, right? So anyway, let's go to the name Christmas. I'm going to go there real quick. And I'm not going to, because there's a bunch of quotes here. I'm not going to read all these quotes. Let's just see. I might have to read one of them because it. We have to understand the word Christmas. It's Christ Mass. Where do you hear the term Mass? That's from the Roman Catholic Church. When they hold a church service, they don't call it a church service. They call it a Mass. So Christ Mass is a Mass in the Catholic Church about Christ. Now, listen to what some priest named John O'Brien said in a booklet titled Understanding the Catholic Faith, and the Ave Maria Press of Notre Dame, Indiana, published it in 1955, and this is what he said on page 212. He said, the Mass is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. Christ, through the ministry of the Roman Catholic priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearances of bread and wine. Christ is thus crucified afresh, is actually what's going on here. Obviously indicating the death of Calvary was insufficient, is what they're saying, because it's unbloody and everything, right? But anyway, it goes on to say that the Mass is the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross, because the victim is the same. The purpose of the Mass is, among other things, to satisfy the justice of God for the sins committed against him. All right? Now, there's a bunch of other quotes from the Catholic Church here. You've also got Hebrews 9:22, where it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. But they're admitting here in the Catholic Church they don't even use it. It's unbloody, right? Now, the term Mary, defined at dictionary.com, is full of high-spirited gaiety or jolly, festive, delightful, entertaining, okay? Okay, that's the archaic definitions of it. It would be delightful or entertaining to use. Like, so when you say Mary, you're delighted. It's just very entertaining to you, what you're about to talk about. Like if you say, oh, this was a merry movie. Well, the movie was very entertaining, or it was very delightful, right? Okay, Christ. Well, obvious. The Messiah. Jesus. All right? No brainer. Let's skip on to the next one. The word Mass. Well, according to Catholic theology, in the Catholic Encyclopedia, right there on page 537, it says, in the Christian law, the supreme sacrifice is that of the Mass. The supreme act of worship consists essentially in an offering of a worthy victim to God, the offering made by a proper person as a priest, the destruction of the victim. So, in essence, the word Mass is defined as a death sacrifice or destruction of the victim, according to the Roman Catholic Church itself. Because not only did they find Mass here, they're the ones that invented the term Merry Christmas. Christians didn't do it. Catholics did. So, when you say Merry Christmas, you are actually declaring with great happiness and joy that Jesus is dead. In fact, it's entertaining to you. It's delightful to you. Kind of like the crucifix of the Roman Catholic Church. They always declare that he's dead. I mean, you go into any Roman Catholic church, and you'll see a dead Jesus on a cross, or a dead Jesus in the arms of his mother, or an infant Jesus on the back of St. Christopher crossing some river, right? But look at all the saints. Look at Mary. Look at St. Stanislaus. Look at St. Anthony. Look at St. Jerome. Look at all the saints. They're all fully alive, muscular, standing upright, totally able to help you, but Jesus is dead, or he's an infant. Now, here's something else. Notice what Santa Claus says when he uses the term Merry Christmas, because now we know that Merry Christmas means you're delightful that Jesus was killed. It's delightful to you. It's entertaining to you that Jesus was killed. Santa Claus says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. In other words, he's saying, right before he says he's happy or entertained that Jesus was killed, he's laughing. All right? Now, the date of December 25th. Now, I just added a video. That's why it says it's updated on this page on 12/18, because sometime this week, on the 18th this week, I put a video on here of Jerusalem this time of the year, under snow, a bunch of snow. The date, December 25th, can't possibly be the date of Jesus Christ's birth. It's impossible because in the month of Chesvan, which is about a month and a half to 2 months before December 25th, the Jews of old would bring in their flocks out of the field to protect them from the rainy conditions and the hail and the snow. It's too dangerous for man and beast to be in the fields in winter in Jerusalem. It's not Hawaii. It's Jerusalem, all right? And that's why I put this video on there to confirm to people. It says, okay, fine, you've never been there in your life, but here, click the video. You'll see somebody panned how it was snowing in Jerusalem. And it wasn't like it was in Egypt, where Egypt never got snow ever for 100 years, in fact. No, this is Jerusalem. They get snow every year. Okay? So he wasn't born on December 25th, but who was? And somebody just put it in the room here. Ryan and Novi put it in here. Tammuz was actually born. Now, here's something that you shouldn't have any little kids around when I mention this. All right? So just to warn you, what I'm going to tell you about Tammuz. All right? Tammuz was the illegitimate son, if you will, of... what was her name? What was her name? I got a. It was Semiramis, yeah, and supposedly Nimrod. But what happened was Nimrod died. She had an adulterous relationship after he died, but she's worshipped as a god on Earth. You know how they did it in those days, just like the Pope does. Pontificus Maximus. They used the term Pontificus Maximus back then for their god on Earth. Well, the Pope is called Pontificus Maximus to this day. So, same thing. Anyway, Nimrod dies. She has an adulterous relationship and gets pregnant. So she comes up with the plan to tell everybody that she was given an immaculate conception. Why? Because the devil knew what was going to happen with Mary thousands of years later, right? So they faked it to make it look like Nimrod appeared to her and got her pregnant, and she has a baby, and he's born on December 25th. But then he's killed. Tammuz is literally killed and cut in pieces. All right? Now, here's where you want to take the kids out of the room. She put it out there. I got it somewhere on this page that you have to bring. Well, I don't know if I should just read this part. Maybe if I got it in here. I don't know if I go into detail on this page about this, because there's certain things I just didn't put on the site back then. Because this is an old, old page. Anyway, if I could do this from memory. He was cut up in all these pieces, and she made sure that she got all the pieces back so that she could put him back in his grave. There was only one piece she never was able to get back, and that's the piece that is, you know, between a man's legs, okay? Now, because she couldn't get that piece back, she made it law in her kingdom. On his birthday every year, you had to either have a steeple on your roof, a tree in your house, or a Yuletide log in the girth of your fireplace that would take 12 days to work its way in. That's where you get the 12 days of Christmas, where that log would go in slowly. I think it was 12 days, and which would resemble the act of consummation, I'm just going to go about that fire. That's about it. All right. The steeple is representing, the tree is representing, the Yuletide log is representing that Tammuz is put all back together. That piece that was missing is now back because you put it on your roof, you put it in, your, in a tree farm, or you put it on that log. Okay? So that's the reason for those three things. All right? Did early Christians celebrate Christmas? This is the next section. No. As a matter of fact, in America, it was extremely difficult, but they finally did it. None of the Christians that came to America wanted anything at all to do with Christmas. Why? All the people that came to America came here because they were trying to escape Roman Catholic persecution. The Roman Catholic Church was killing them, burning them alive, you know, cutting them in half, burying them alive, skinning them alive, whatever. You know how the Catholic Church did it. And so they came here. It wasn't the taxation without representation thing. It wasn't a raising income tax, even though the tax back then was 0.5%. And so, no, they didn't risk life and limb in the Mayflower to come over here to America to avoid a couple of bucks a year. They came here because they were being killed by the Catholic Church. And so when they came here, anything that had anything to do with Catholicism, they didn't want nothing to do with it. And there's actually a Hollywood movie that depicts this time when the Catholics were able to finally convince the Protestants, as they started to call them, to start doing Christmas again. Does anybody give an idea what the movie was called? I'll give. Come on, some of you know this. What was the movie called? The Grinch. Thank you. The Grinch. The Grinch is the true story. It's an actual true story. The Grinch is actually representative. You know who the Grinch is representing in the movie? You and me. Real Christians. But he's got the black heart of stone. He's evil. He's hateful. Why? Because he doesn't want to do Christmas. Right? But all the people that are doing the Christmas, they're all loving and gentle and giving gifts and all this other stuff. That's what it was about. It was the transfer when all of a sudden he saw the light and he became, and that's what that movie's about. It's about how the Catholic Church was able to be successfully bring Christmas back in. Now, the origin of gift giving, it has to do with paganism. If you want to check it out, go for it. The birthday celebration, I got a page all about that, too. It's weird. And Christmas is actually sun worship, too, by the way. Here, you got the winter solstice. You got Saturnalia. And then what else was there? Oh, we had the birth of Tammuz, because he's one of the sun gods as well, because of his mom and his dad. But the December 25th is the day that the sun starts hanging longer in the sky. And so that's called the winter solstice, or Saturnalia. And so it has, again, nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, and has everything to do with the sun, worship of the sun, because the sun starts, you know, in other words, the time starts, you know, in a couple of months you put your clocks, you spring forward and all that, because the days start getting longer. We all notice, if you've lived on planet Earth for more than, say, 20 years, a lot of the teenagers say, really, it does? But anyway, okay, so it's just like Easter. No different from Easter. Easter has nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And how do I say that? Well, ask a pagan and ask a Roman Catholic priest how they come up with the date of Easter, because they both use the term Easter. They both celebrate Easter. And they'll both say the exact same thing. Easter, the date for Easter is, oh, because the date for Easter changes every year, right? December 25th never does. But Easter's date always changes. Why? It is because it's the first full moon of spring. The following Sunday will be Easter. So it has nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it did, it would be on a fixed date. Okay? Going on. The pagan Christmas tree, I already went through as to what that was all about. The Yuletide log, I already went all through all what that's about. The hanging of the stockings. Here's something interesting. This is from the book, The History of Christmas. It says, stocking hanging comes from the English legend, Father Christmas, once, that's a Catholic saint, by the way, or it's a fictitious mythological person that went around passing out gold coins, I guess. Anyway, it says Father Christmas once dropped some gold coins while coming down the chimney. The coins would have fallen through the ash gate and been lost if it hadn't landed in a stocking that happened to be hung out to dry. Since that time, the children have continued to hang out stockings in the hopes of finding them filled with gifts. Okay? Candles. All right. Well, I'm going to read this first. Alexander Hislop, in the book, you know, The Two Babylons, excellent read, by the way. You want to check that book out. It exposes the Catholic Church like no other book that I've ever read in my life has. It says, lighted candles are foreign to the worship of God in the Church of the New Testament Scriptures, yet they too had their place in the worship of the sun god of paganism in Christmas and in Christmas today. There's only three places on earth that you will find candles in a celebration or like a church service wannabe kind of a thing. Number one, in a pagan gathering. Number two, in a satanic church. And number three, in a Catholic church. You'll also only find black robes in those three places, incense burning in those three places, bells being used, daggers, holy water, different color candles, and then there's a few other things. In the stained glass windows and the pointy windows with the phallic symbol, just like the steeple, that's the same thing. All right, now mistletoe. From the same book, Alexander, his life's book, he says, among the pre-Christian Druid superstitions derived from the ancient Babylon was the legend of the mistletoe. It was regarded as a divine branch which came down from heaven and grafted itself into an earthly tree. Thus, the mistletoe became a token of reconciliation, the kiss being a symbol of pardon. And so that's why you got to kiss whoever is underneath the mistletoe, right? All right, now let's see the Catholic ordinance. I'm not going to get into that, but if you wanted to check out the Catholic ordinance, I can't remember what this is about. Let's see. Since there's no evidence for the observance of Christmas in the Bible, the questions are, what is its origin, and when did its celebration begin? Lector P. Waldenstrom says, the custom to celebrate the birth of Christ in the last part of December began first in the 4th century. Before that, the 6th of January was celebrated. Oh, yeah, I remember that, because my mom told me that when I was a little kid. I says, Mom, why are you putting out this, why you always got to have this, you got to take the tree down on January 6th, you can't do it on the 7th, or you can't do it on the 5th, or any other day. He says, well, it's because it's Father Christmas Day. I says, well, I says, yeah, Christmas used to be celebrated on the 6th of January. She knew this. My mom's an avid reader, 7 to 8 books a week. I kid you not, that's how I started learning how to do research when I would go to the libraries, because my mom doesn't know how to drive a car. And so I would always take her to the library, and she'd be in there 3-4 hours looking for books, and so I start doing research. Because all the comic books were already read. So I started getting into doing research, and that's when I started finding stuff out. But yeah, 6th of, you know, they did it on the 6th of January. And some of you may remember this if you're older, that some of your parents did the same thing. They removed the tree out of the house on the 6th of January. Or they just had a Father Christmas statue that would put up on the 6th of January. Okay, now here's something. This always irked me, and I'm just going to read this. Now I may as well just say it from memory. Because it comes much quicker than reading. All right. You know the lie about Santa Claus coming down the chimney? Or just the fact that Santa Claus exists at all? It's a lie, as we all know, right? And now what happens? Because this happened to me, and I'm sure it happened to some of you. When I got to be about 6 or 7 or 8 years old, when I started coming into like what they would call consciousness, you know, because now you start to realize, hey, when I look in the mirror, that's me. You know, like a cat looks in the mirror and wants to attack it because it doesn't realize it's them. You finally become a sentient being, if you will. You know, you start to realize you exist. I started to realize, hey, Mom, Dad, Santa Claus doesn't exist. You've been lying to me. And I go, yeah, what a joke. Yeah, exactly. You know, And I used to remember when I was a kid and I watched the weatherman and he's talking, they have a special report. You could see Santa Claus, he's coming over, and all us little kids would go, oh, we got to get to bed. You know, starts, you know, dreaming about the sugar plum fairies and stuff like that. So in the morning, you get all your gifts, right? And so, yeah, they actually did this on TV. The weatherman back in the 50s and the 60s, actually in the 60s, and you know, because we didn't have a TV when we were young. So in the 60s, we saw the weatherman doing it, right? And, but here's the problem. I found out that my mom and dad were lying to me. You know what's worse? I found out I believed it. Hook, line, and sinker. I absolutely believed it. You know what I just, then when I learned? Lying works. And so from that day forward, I did my best to fine-tune my ability to lie. Like anybody else would. I could lie to people right straight in their face, and they couldn't tell. Like, just about anybody can before you can become a Christian, right? Now you can't lie because it's like, you know, you start blinking or your body. No, you can't lie because the Holy Spirit won't let you, right? So anyway, and there's a video that I put on here too a while ago. I don't remember when I put this video up, but the title is "Brilliant Kid Discovers Santa Syndrome." Right? Now, ever notice this? Now here's the prop. This is what we got into earlier. This is what led us to do this tonight. Santa Claus, strangely compared to Jesus Christ. All right? It's all a mockery of Jesus. And worse yet, it's making Jesus look like a cross-dresser. All right, so first, Number one, Santa Claus has white hair like wool. Well, so does Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, and Daniel 7, verse 9. And I'm gonna say these Bible verses for the people that are listening on the recording for later on, right? Santa Claus has a beard that's curly and white. Well, so does Jesus in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 again. Santa Claus comes from the north. Well, they call it the North Pole, but he comes from the north, right? Well, check out Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 8. Or no, I'm sorry, that's Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. Exodus 26:35, or even Psalm 48, verse 2. Santa Claus is omniscient. He knows about all, right? Because he knows if you're naughty or nice, right? So he knows everything, right? Well, check out Revelation 19:6. Santa Claus is ageless. He's eternal. Ever since I was a kid, the guy doesn't seem to age. I mean, okay, fine, he's got white hair and stuff like that. He looks like he's in his 50s, but the dude ain't aging, right? Check out Revelation 1, verse 8, 21, verse 6, Hebrews 13, 8. Sorry I said dude, but, you know, I can't give any respect to a fictitious character. All right, number 6, he makes a list of judgments, you know, to find out if you're naughty or nice. Amen, Brother Ace. Yeah, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And that's one of the reasons we had to make that video, is, by the way, about those people that are attacking us. But yeah, amen, that's Proverbs 14, verse 5. So anyway, Santa Claus makes a list of judgments to find out if you're naughty or nice. Well, we all know about the investigative judgment, right? But check out Revelation 20, verse 12, Revelation 14, verse 7, 21, verse 27, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And Santa Claus checks that list twice. Daniel 8:14, Matthew 10:26, and 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Right? It's amazing, the similarities here between Santa Claus and Jesus Christ. But continuing, there's quite a few more to go here. Number 8, he gives gifts based on that list. Right? Daniel 8:14, Matthew 10:26, and 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And I got the Galatians defined on my Revelation study, Denise. Go to Revelation study page on the website and just go to Galatians. All right. Number nine. Christmas rewards once yearly. Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32. And I believe that's talking about the reward of atonement. All right. Number 10, you confess all your wrongs to Santa. 1 John 2, 1, 1 Timothy 2, 5, and I should also put in 1 John 1, 9. All right? Number 11, promise to be better next year to Santa. Well, look at John chapter 14, verse 15 and 21, and in chapter 15, verse 10, and 1 John 2, 3. Santa Claus asks children to obey their parents. So does Jesus in Ephesians 6, 1, Proverbs 6, 20, and Colossians 3, verse 20. The hour that Santa Claus actually shows up in your house and puts those gifts on your tree as a complete mystery. So the hour of his arrival is a mystery. Well, no one knows the day or hour of Jesus coming, right? Look at Luke 12:40, Mark 13:33, and Matthew 24:36. Rudolph's shining nose to guide. Well, Matthew 2, verses 2, 7, and 9 through 10, and then Numbers 24:17. I mean, seriously, check out these verses. Some of them are going to make you chuckle when you read them. This is, I mean, oh, this is unreal. Amen to that, Nicole. This is really unreal. He calls all children to his knees. Jesus said the same thing. I call all children unto me, right? Matthew 19:14 and Luke 18:16. And he says, be good for goodness sake. In number 16, well, Jesus says this in Matthew 19:17, Colossians 1:29, and Philippians 2, verse 13. Santa Claus has a twinkle in his eye. Look at Revelation 1, verse 14 and Revelation 2:18. Santa Claus is swift. He can put those gifts under everybody's tree in one night, right? Look at 2 Peter 3:8, Revelation 18:8, Isaiah 47:9. And Santa Claus is omnipresent. He's found in every mall. Look at Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, Ephesians 4, verse 6. And Santa Claus, now here's something. I'm going to actually get this Bible verse out, okay? Okay. This is neat. Okay, I'm going to put this in the chat room, as a matter of fact. Oops, it didn't copy it. Here we go. Number 20 is the last one. Santa Claus says, ho, ho, ho. Look at Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6. It says, ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. So the Lord says, ho, 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 too. Right? So, there you have it. Now, where do the red and green colors come from in Christmas? All right? Now, the scriptures attribute certain colors to, in the scriptures, there's certain things that greenish colors or reddish colors are found in scripture. And it's in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 33 to 39, and it's talking about when someone has leprosy or some kind of mold or some kind of, I believe it's leprosy here, in the house. And in order to find it out, it says, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, which is in the side of the lower half of the wall. So it has to do with leprosy, but, I mean, the evergreen trees as well, that goes, like I'm saying here on the side, it goes way back. I mean, Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, 1 Kings 14, Psalm 37. The pagans have always worshipped under every green tree, and this is why you see it when you're going through Chronicles, of course, or even Deuteronomy. You'll see how it's talking about the kings and how this king was doing good for the Lord, but he still didn't remove the worship from the hills where they would have the worship under all the green trees. He didn't outlaw that. There were some kings that did outlaw it. They were the really good kings, but some of the kings didn't even bother. He says, okay, you want to go worship there in the up in the trees? Go ahead and do it. All right. So who's to blame for all this pagan infiltration in Christmas? I'm going to read you one quote. It's from The Development of the Christian Religion by Cardinal Newman on page 359. He says this in his book. Believe it or not, a Catholic, Roman Catholic Cardinal Newman, he says this in his book. He says the temples, the incense, the oil lamps, the votive offerings, the holy water, holidays, seasons of devotions, processions, blessings of the fields, sacerdotal vestments, the tonsures of the priests, the monks and the nuns, the images and the statues, and the turning to the east and all that other stuff I didn't put in there. I found the other stuff where he says the turning to the east and all that. He says they are all of pagan origin. They admit this. Now, I got a huge section on the Christmas page where Baal versus the Catholic God. Yeah, it's on the page where the pagan infiltration thing, or I'll put it right in the room. It's on the Words of a Beast page where it talks about the Catholic Church having, as a matter of fact, I'll put that link in here. That one's better because I got a bunch of quotes from the, let's go to RCC Exposed, go to Words of a Beast, and then scroll down to where it says Babylonian Paganism Connection. Click that, and then let me put this in the room, and I'll read it from, well, yeah, it's there. I says, the pagan creeds is there. And I think I put, turning to the east, images at a later date, perhaps the ecclesiastical chant, the Kyrie eleison, and are all of pagan origin. So the entire quote is on this page, and I'll put that, you're very welcome, I'll put that in the room right there. That's the link that you're going to get. And there's a lot, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quotes where the Roman Catholic Church admits in their own books that all their stuff is pagan, okay? But this here where it says you got the sun god, I'm just going to read it because this is too, it's just way too big. I'm just going to pick out a couple of highlights. It's like the nativity of the sun or the birth of Tammuz was December 25th. Now you have Jesus is born on December 25th, right? The Midsummer Festival that's held on June 24th. Now, if you used to be Catholic, a lot of this stuff's going to ring true. You're going to remember this from when you were, especially if you were a devout Catholic, because me, my mom, my dad, all my siblings, we were devout Roman Catholics, which means every holy day of obligation. We didn't just go to church on Sunday. We would go on Ash Wednesday. We would go on the Queen of Heaven Day. We would go on, the Nativity of St. John's and all. Well, anyway, or the Assumption of Mary stuff. But, excuse me. Check it out. The Midsummer Festival of the Pagans is held on June 21st. Well, the Nativity of St. John is held on June 24th. Well, they're both 24. I said 21 for some stupid reason. The Assumption of Semiramis, who became the Mother Goddess, is now the Assumption of Mary, who becomes the Mother of God. The Mother Goddess was worshipped as the Queen of Heaven, and that's actually listed in Jeremiah 7:18 in the Bible, where God actually shows, he actually states that the Queen of Heaven and them making their hot cross buns for her was angered God. Well, the Virgin Mary is now worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. That's why I have a page on my website all about the Queen of Heaven, because that's what they call her. And then these cakes, like the hot cross buns I was talking about, the pagans called, they had these cakes that were dedicated to the goddess with a plus sign drawn on them, and that's in Jeremiah chapter 44 and verses 17 and 19. The Catholic Church has hot cross buns. That's what they call them, because there's a cross on the bun. Okay, 40 days of fasting for Tammuz in Ezekiel 8:14, 40 days of Lent to the Catholic Church, same time of the year, exact same time. Directly after that 40-day fast, you have the festival of Easter, Ezekiel 8:16. Well, directly after the 40 days of Lent in the Catholic Church, you have Easter. Now all the Protestants are doing that, too. The Protestants are now doing Lent as well. I'm only going to do a couple of more of these because it's getting late. The resurrection of Tammuz at Easter, at the procession of the graven images all throughout during and Holy Week. Well, you got the procession of graven images of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and Peter, and all the saints in what's called the Roman Catholic Holy Week. They still call it Holy Week. And then it goes on. You got the purgatory thing. You got the immortality of the soul, that the burning in fire for eternity. You got the incense and the candles from Jeremiah and Ezekiel that the Catholics do. They got the chants and the repetitive prayers, the beaded prayer chains like rosaries, the Gregorian chants. I mean, it's the amulets, the idols, the chalices, the Horus, the infant baptism, the necromancy, the Sunday worship, we all know about that, the title Pontificus Maximus, the high priest that carries the throne. He's carried on the throne to the temple of his God, while the Pope is carried on a portable throne to the Basilica of St. Peter or the Sedia Gestoria every single year. You always see that picture of them showing him sitting on a big old throne, and these guys are carrying him in there like he's some god on earth, and this is what the pagans did. And you got to do good works to oppose. The four living creatures versus the Santa's reindeers. I should do something on that, too. You got the gargoyles that are a pagan god of protection for the pagans. Well, the exact same gargoyles are all over all the rooftops of the Vatican, as well as all the these big cathedrals and stuff like that of the Catholic Church. You got the phallic symbol, or the sex organ on the roofs of all the churches. Well, all churches now do that, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You know, the largest phallic symbol in the world is in St. Peter's Square. No, I take that back. No. Since they got control over the USA in certain areas before they got to Reagan, you got the Washington Monument. That is the largest phallic symbol on the planet, but St. Peter's Square used to always have the biggest one. And they moved it. It was originally in a different position, but now they moved it so that the shadow falls and goes right through the center of the doorway, symbolizing consummation on the exact day that they say Jesus would have been put in Mary's womb. But it's actually the exact day that Semiramis had the adulterous relationship and got pregnant with Tammuz. All right? That's sick. I know they actually have it to where the shadow goes in there when the sun hits it. And then it's just loaded. I mean, there's, like I said, there's just way too much to read here. So let's go to the next one here. Pagan sun worship has become, instead of S-U-N worship, it's S-O-N worship. All right. Strange weeds in the Garden of God. I'm not going to read that. That's huge. And then you got the Merchant's Day. Let's see, we got only a few more here. There's a couple of more here that Temkit did years ago. Jolly old Saint Nicholas. You got a man of, yeah. These are contrasts. Saint Nicholas is jolly. You got Jesus is the man of sorrows. He's welcomed by the world. Jesus, we hid our face. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Was despised and we esteemed him not. In Isaiah 53:3. So this is a good contrast the way she did this. And she asked me to put it on the site because years ago her and I were friends. All right. She still links my website too, but from what I understand, she's still SDA. So keep her in your prayers. Her name is Pat. And then they got this Gary Mitchell guy that says that Jesus wouldn't have a problem with Christmas Day. Okay, and then it goes on from there. Then I got the links. But yeah, this there's also the Xmas Files. I don't know if this website's still hot. Let's just see. Oh yeah, it is. Good. Good to hear. The Xmas Files are still there. This guy I knew many, many years ago. He gave this to me. It was like file 1 through 5. It's pretty interesting. Then you got a bunch of other links here too. But this is, like I said earlier, there have been some people in the church family that want like a track about Christmas, but where do you start? How do you do it? I mean, you'd have to make a book. And there's just so much evil from this church, from this celebration, this Christmas thing. And so if we were somehow to make a booklet, it would be difficult, to Well, it wouldn't be that difficult. I mean, it's because we already got all the research done. It would just be expensive. Let's just put it that way. And so, but and there's a lot of work we need to do. And so please keep that in your prayers as well, because we don't have a lot of time to do it in, and we certainly, well, we need the means to do it. Let's just say, let's just put it that way. But yeah, I do believe that you guys got a Christmas track tomorrow that you're going to bring to the church out there in Florida? Good, I'd like to see it, yeah, because if we can get one that's covers the gamut, I mean, then this is something we could run with. Because every year, I've always thought of, because like the thing that I was always going to do, I was just going to make a track about the term Merry Christmas. Because everywhere you turn, they're saying Merry Christmas. And you know how I get the conversation going, and I'll end with this. Whenever someone says Merry Christmas to me, you got to feel the person out first. You got to realize if this is going to go well or not. But 9 times out of 10, I just go bah humbug, and they'll giggle, and I says, "Well, I'm not kidding," and I'll be friendly and jovial, if you will, and I'll tell them. He says, "You know what Mary means? You know what Christ means? You know what Mass means? So when you say Merry Christmas, you're actually delightful. You're entertained at the thought that Jesus Christ was killed." And so, but that gets the conversation going, so that's what I'll do. Because everybody, whenever you say Bah Humbug, you think of the Grinch, and everybody knows that's that time of the year. They probably just came, they probably just watched the movie The Grinch last night in their home, and now they're at Walmart working the cash register or whatever. But, it's fun. Let's just put it that way sometimes, because it makes them think sometimes. But if I was going to make a track that was just on one of these topics, it would be that one. And then the next one, of course, would be the strangely how they mock Jesus with Santa Claus. And then we already covered a thing about Santa Claus being a cross-dresser, where the name Santa actually means it's the female gender. And the man, it's just really, really bad. And we already did the mistletoe thing, too. It's on here, too. There's a mistletoe section in here. I actually should, instead of putting dots next to each one, I should put numbers. It'll be easier to point to them. So it's on there. But let me just put the link for the Christmas page on the website in the chat room here. And again, for those listening on the recording later, it's remedygod.org /xmas.htm, just like it sounds, xmas.htm. God bless. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the tools that we need to spread the truth, to help souls make it home. And we know, Father, we can't save anyone. We're just planting the seeds that you give us, and we thank you for watering or making sure that an increase in the truth finds its way into the heart, so that it blossoms into an amazing tree of truth in their hearts. And so, thank you for this opportunity to work. Please bless the church and the church family, physically, spiritually, and financially. We are in need to do things, and we need your help, Father. And so we thank you for helping us there. And bless everybody that we mentioned here a few moments ago in the prayer list, especially those that are sick, and especially those that are sick spiritually too, and all those that are on the prayer list, even those that we couldn't mention. And thank you again for blessing us with prayer so that we can always go to you when we're in need. And we lift this prayer up to you, as we lift all of them, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.